I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. Today, we feature two all-female theater productions opening this weekend. We talk with actress Sarah Hennessy in How to Keep an Alien at Corrib Theater and director Jocelyn Seed of A Dark Sky Full of Stars at Theater Vertigo. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. With me in the KBOO studio are Sarah Hennessy. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. You're a first-timer. I was a first-timer. It's awesome. And Josie Seed, otherwise known as Jocelyn Seed. Hello, Josie.
Well, hello.
And welcome back to Stage and Studio.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me as well.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm looking forward to this conversation. You're both working on different productions. I mean, there are more and more all-female productions, so it's not a big, like, oh no, it's never happened before kind of deal. But this happening on the same weekend, you know, it's almost like, hey, you guys, you know, you should talk to each other about this. This is great, you know, and somebody could do a whole weekend, you know, every weekend during your runs. All-female productions. So have you both been in all-female productions before?
I have. Men on Boats.
Oh, yeah,
remember?
Of course.
I was here for that.
I always have a brain fart or something.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, of course. Yes, you have. And that was an amazing experience for you.
Yeah, it was glorious. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I've only ever done it once before, and truly it was in high school. I did Steel Magnolias. So this is, it's been many, many years.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
That is a good one. I like that play. Both great plays. I just remember, I was in an all-female Taming of the Shrew, and I was playing Hortensio, of course, you know, a guy. And I just found it so freeing in a lot of ways, you know, especially when you're able to play, you know, different genders, and you were playing a man on a boat, right?
Yeah.
And
so
how's that, you know, how's that experience for you?
It's fun. It's super fun. It's really interesting. You have to make a mental readjustment to how you take up space and carry yourself, because it's very, very different. The thing that motivates you forward physically is very different when you're playing a man. So it's a great experience.
And being in Steel Magnolias with all women, you know, in a hair, you know, salon. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was high school, so, you know, I'm sure we had our drama, but it was great. Yeah, no, I haven't actually been in an all-female production where I played a man, though, so.
Oh, that's the next step, Sarah. That's the next step.
Well, okay.
Let's find out about each production. And Sarah, so How to Keep an Alien. It's Corrib Theater?
Corrib.
Corrib Theater.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it focuses, which is a theater that focuses on Irish playwrights.
Yes.
And so, you know, I thought it interesting. Let's find out a little bit more. Just tell us a little bit about the story.
Okay. Yeah. So this actually was first performed. It's almost a solo show. So there are two women in this case on stage. Actually, this may be the first time that there were two women. It might have been played by a man in the past. But anyway, I'll start.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's basically a... like I said, it's almost a solo show. So it's this woman and her stage manager. So the stage manager is actually on stage with me. And so I play the playwright, actually, who was an actor. And she met and fell in love with her stage manager.
She's Irish,
this is
right?
A true story. Yes, she's Irish. She's from Dublin. So true story. She was working on this ridiculous play in an Irish castle and falls in love with her stage manager, who happens to be Australian. And they have this kind of very passionate romance. And then very quickly... her girlfriend has to go back home. And so the play kind of deals with how when you fall in love with an alien.
Well, and especially since now with immigration issues, I was wondering how Ireland was dealing, you know, is dealing with that in this play.
Yeah. So it's that's what the whole play is about, is trying to figure out how two people who are in love can be together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the basis of the play. And also that there's some privilege there, right? In that she's a middle class, you know, actress, white woman who is an Irish citizen and wants to get her Australian girlfriend at least some kind of visa so that they can be together, eventually citizenship. But there's all these refugees as well, right? Who are trying to get their citizenship or a visa to stay in Ireland, and so kind of the differences between.
Oh, good.
Those two.
I'm glad that covers that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you in a second. I'm going to give you some prep time, but maybe a couple lines in your Irish accent at some point, okay? Because
okay.
I'd love to hear it. I mean, you know, of course I'm going to go to the show, but you know, it might be nice to tease it out here.
I was hoping for that, too.
I know. I thought she might go into it as she's talking about it. But I'll give you some prep time. So, Josie, I've actually read Dark Sky Full of Stars,
yeah.
And it's at Theater Vertigo, and it's the world premiere.
Yeah.
And it's got six diverse women playing multiple characters. But the play itself was fascinating to me that it starts off with a tragic event, and it's about all these women playing all the characters of any gender, regarding this tragic event. You want to tell us a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. So essentially, I mean, you hit it on the head. The thing that makes the play so interesting is that it's told in a very non-linear fashion. So, you know, you could be, you know, at the tragic event at one point, and then at the next point, you're at home, you know, and this person is now still alive and, you know, talking to their girlfriend. And then the next moment, you know, he's hanging out with his friend, and you kind of, but it doesn't go in any straight line, you know. And the way that I kind of approached it, because as I was looking at it, I was like, how do I make this make sense, you know? And so my concept is that it could happen to any one of us. I think of this as a play that focuses on that moment in time, right? That changes everything. And how many times have you gotten a phone call that changed everything, right? And so I'm looking at it, I treat it like all of these women, because in the script, there's characters 1 through 6, and they're the ones who play these different characters. But I had the actors actually within themselves give 1 through 6 an actual person. So I'm treating it like women going about their lives, you know, when I say each of you has a connection to this person that died. And how do you treat that, you know, when you're just being character number 6? How does that person treat the, you know, the learning of that news? And so it's really interesting if you come to the play, which you should.
Which everybody should.
Which everyone should. You know, sneak a peek to see what's happening on the fringes, because these women are living their lives as they're waiting for this thing to happen. And as this thing is happening, it's really interesting to see.
Well, the rehearsal photos are interesting because you at one point, there's one rehearsal photo where all the women are lying down and you're sort of, I don't know if you were putting like, you know, a blanket over them and tucking them into bed or what.
Yeah,
what
was that interesting exercise? That was all about publicity photos. But what we were doing,
it worked.
Right? That one, I don't think I've seen that one. That one may not have come out, but it was really, I'm going to tell you missed it. It was cool. Because what they were doing is they were laying there and they had their hands on each other's faces, but their arms were crossing. And from above, they looked like a star. It was gorgeous.
Oh.
It was a gorgeous shot. But I was trying to cover their faces so that they were, like, they looked like they were in the clouds.
So dark sky full of stars.
Yeah.
Oh,
it looked really cool, but, you know.
Okay, well, that sounds fascinating, too. And I bet, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the, like, what the rehearsal room is like with all women. What is it like, actually?
It's glorious. You? It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you're the director, so you get to determine
and I'm
that.
Kind of a kook anyway, so it's very light when it can be. It was a pretty collaborative process. I mean, we talked about things, you know, people gave their ideas. I try to be very gentle when I'm directing. You know, I'm not someone that's like, you must do this way. You know, I'm consider this. Where does this take you? You know, what's this thought? You know, where do you land there? But just having the support, there's something special about being a room full of women and the support that's there and the you can do this that's there and the vulnerability. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
I think there's something about being in the majority of something when a lot of times you're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the experience, like kind of going back to that thing, right, with women playing men, that experience and seeing women discover what it feels like to just spread out, you know, and to not be apologetic for being in the way.
Right.
It just gives me life. It's fantastic.
Well, for Sarah, you're like in, you carry the bulk of the line load, right?
So yeah, it's about 95%.
Yeah. So you've got three women there with Gemma. How has the rehearsal process with Gemma been?
Gemma Whalen. The rehearsal process is great. And look, she's, I think, a very similar director to Josie and what she explained. She gives me an awful lot of freedom And especially, I've actually never worked on a almost solo show. So this is mostly monologue, right?
And you've done this role before, too.
I haven't,
oh,
no.
Oh, I thought for some reason you had.
No,
okay.
This is the very first time. So, yeah, so it's been great because I find her to be also very easy and very open to me saying, okay, what feels weird for me now is this moment. Yeah. Is it okay if we work on this? Or this is what I need right now
in order
to move forward and figure things out. And that's really quite wonderful. So I agree. It's been a really supportive environment.
Well, you need that, too, when you're doing most of the line load, too, to feel like it's okay to try things.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And to where am I getting stuck and why am I getting stuck?
Right.
And let's unpack
that
because, you know, unfortunately, if the play stops, everyone will know. Like, if I don't know what I'm doing next or why I'm doing it, I'm the only one up there.
Yeah, so. That's when you start playing with props or something.
Right. Although I'm not the only one up there. I have my stage manager actually on
She's
stage.
She's on stage.
She is running the show from on stage. And so.
And is she an actress?
She is
an actress
as well. And so she's on stage running it and then occasionally plays little kind of auxiliary characters.
Oh, I bet that's a lot of split focus there. We're going to talk more about that. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are, we just heard Sarah Hennessy in How to Keep an Alien at Corey Theater, and then also director Jocelyn Seed of A Dark Sky Full of Stars at Theater Vertigo. Both shows are opening this weekend, and you can get tickets. Let's find out how by calling Membership Central right now.
That's right, Dime. 877-500-5266 is the number to call here at KABU to commit your support to community radio. I'm Ani. I'm here with Gwyn, and we are at the beginning of our spring membership drive where we get to let you know that this is community-supported radio, and the time to hear from the community is now. You know that you tune in to KABU's Morning Public Affairs to stay connected to what's happening in our communities, be it political or cultural or a mix of both. And with Stage and Studio, you get really cutting-edge views on theater in town. You get to hear from the people that make it happen, all because Dime brings it to you every Tuesday morning. Please connect back in right now and let us know that you appreciate this program, that you rely on it to keep you connected.
Thanks, Ani. That's, you know, just the pure volume of conversation that's going on this morning in this show is amazing, all around theater and what's going on. And this is all brought to you from the grassroots, you know, movement of KABU. And you can do that easily by calling 877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm.
Thank you all so very much for your contributions and for making us stronger together. And back to Dee Mae.
Hi, thanks, Ani. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. And here in the studio, we have actress Sarah Hennessy in How to Keep an Alien at Corrib Theater. And that runs April 12th through May 5th. And more info is at corribtheater.org. And we have director Jocelyn Seed of A Dark Sky Full of Stars at Theater Vertigo, which runs April 11th through May 12th. And more info about that is at theatervertigo.org. And both shows are at 7:30 p.m., except for Sundays at 2 p.m. And you can find out more at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio for all that info. We've been talking about the rehearsal room, and I actually had asked Sarah if she would give us a brief little, I don't know, highlight of her Irish brogue in the play, because she plays an Irish woman who is in love with her stage manager.
That's right. For 2 weeks, I am abducted by an alien. I don't answer my phone, I don't reply to a text, email, Facebook, tweet, wave on the street, nothing. 2 glorious weeks of pure, unadulterated emotional anarchy and promises made without the threat of being fulfilled. You can plan your entire lives together without the threat of having to do it. Let's buy houses, let's buy 2. Let's have babies. Hello, is that Russell Crowe? Yes, we'd like to place an order for, well, a baby. Oh, and well done on Les Mis.
That's fantastic.
Russell Crowe, maybe not so much.
She seems
this was
to have,
a little while ago.
Well, it was a few years ago, but she does seem to really like Russell Crowe. She brings him up a couple
of
times.
Australian, yeah.
Apparently. I'd have gone with Hugh Jackman myself.
Oh, yeah. I would have gone all the way with Hugh Jackman.
And if you're going to pick an Australian, right? One of the Hemsworth brothers.
Oh, my goodness. Any one of the Hemsworth brothers.
But back to an all-female production. This is our topic. And so, Josie, you're the director working on Dark Sky Full of Stars with six talented women. Yeah. And so I'm just wondering, you know, what are your favorite moments from that show?
Oh, there's so many.
From the play itself.
Yeah.
Which is a world premiere. It was only done as a reading at Ashland.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it's really interesting because, from what I understand, this particular playwright, Don Zolidis, I can't say his name. I think that's right. He's amazing.
Yes.
But he does a lot of stuff for young people. So I think this is probably one of the few times that he will see like an actual adult group of people do it. And just quick plug, he's going to be there on opening night.
All right.
Which will be cool. But I would say, there is, it's actually right at the very beginning. There's a character called Cray who cracks me up, because Cray is just like a total nut burger, played brilliantly by Teresa Park. But Cray has just done something unscrupulous. You can tell he's not giving it up, but he's just kind of one of those people that you're like, why is that person being their friend? But you kind of know why, because it's just like one of those, you just don't ever know what they're going to do. And it's exciting. So I would say Cray is one of my favorite characters. But I think I would also have to ask that it has been awe-inspiring to see these women just drop down into these characters. The lineation between one to the next is fascinating and amazing, and well worth the price of admission in and of itself. So,
well, so many to choose from. And, of course, this is both Tech Week for you.
Yeah.
So what do you personally want to work on for Sarah, you know, as an actress? What do you personally want to work on? What are some of the challenges that you want to work on this week?
You know, I mean, it's interesting because I'm talking basically in this show for about an hour and 15 minutes straight.
It's a short show, too.
Yeah, it is a short show, but that's about an hour and 15-minute monologue. I had auditions last week, for instance, for Generals, and I had 4 minutes of monologue. So this is, you know, this is quite a bit of text. So, you know, I think my biggest concern at this point, I feel pretty prepared as far as the character is concerned and all of that. My biggest concern is, making sure that all the lines come out. That's kind of the nerve-wracking thing at the moment. But also, I've been doing this show for an empty room of chairs now for, you know, 4 weeks of rehearsal. So I am super excited about getting people in those seats and getting to play with characters. That's what actors do, right? We work with each other on stage. And so when you're kind of on your own up there,
Except for the stage manager,
and we do have some scenes, but most of this play is being played to the audience,
right,
and with the audience. And so, not that if you show up, you're going to have to, you know, interact with me. You won't have to, but it'd be nice to have.
The audience is kind of another character,
it
right?
It is.
Because who are you telling this to?
Exactly. And it's a comedy. You know, I need to know where my laughs are and things like that. You know, that's what this week is really about. We've got, you know, a dress rehearsal, and we've got preview, and then we've got opening. And I need to know. What's working, what's not. You know, I'm looking forward to that this week.
Well, what are you working on this week? Because you're the director, so it's like all kinds of tech stuff for you.
Yes. And it is. It's all the tech things. It's, are the sound cues coming in right? And are they, you know, for the right length of time? And I think the other thing for the actors is just getting the rhythm of the show, because of the way that it is written. It's not just one, you know, steady beat. You know, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. And figuring out how to get in step with, you know, the other women in the show is something that we're working on. So,
well, you're also a phenomenal actress. So, being the director, are you weighing one over the other?
Director in this, but I think I'm letting my actor inform my director for sure. And, you know, giving them space. And, you know, I'm always like, how can I be of service to you? What's the most useful thing that, you know, that you need right now? But it's really interesting. Yeah, I don't think that I don't think that my actor stuck her head up this time. Sometimes she does when I'm directing.
But she has a lot of sympathy, but, right? Yeah. For the, I mean, I think actors, sure. directors who are actors as well, you know, kind of have a little bit more sympathy perhaps
I think
actor.
This thing, and you know, Sarah, it's like, especially when you get into a show and you're in rehearsal, you get in, I call it the loop, when all you do is act and sleep, right. pretty much, right? And it can be really overwhelming when you have a day job and a family and all these other things that you're supposed to pay attention to and you're supposed to be doing this show. So I think one of the biggest things that I tried to do is provide them with everything that they needed in the room. And yeah, go home and learn your lines and all that stuff. But I'm hoping that we're running it enough and going through stuff and working through scenes enough so that you don't have to spend, you know, huge amounts of time in the time that should be yours to live any part of your life that you have, you know, time left for. So that was one of the things as well that I try to focus on is just, you know, is this the day we do, you know, a line through, or is this the day that we do scene work? Is this the day? So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the spaces too. Both plays are in intimate spaces.
Mm-hmm.
How to Keep an Alien. Actually, let me give this info. Okorab Theater presents How to Keep an Alien by Sonia Kelly, April 11th through May 12th. And all shows are at New Expressive Works. And that's located at 810 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. And more info at korabtheater.org. And Theater Vertigo presents a world premiere of A Dark Sky Full of Stars by Don Zolidis. And that show runs April 11th through Saturday, May 12th at the Shoebox Theater, and that's located at 2110 Southeast 10th Avenue, and more info at theatervertigo.org. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And we still have tickets for those shows for basic membership, so, you know, give us a call. So I'm thinking, you know, they're both intimate spaces, which I love, you know. So how is it for you with New Expressive Works? Because you're going to be seeing people's faces, right?
Yeah. I think it's maybe four rows deep.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a pretty wide stage, but it is people are right there.
Right there in the room.
Which is great. Yeah. That's important, actually. It is, you know, I say that. One of the things we did have to talk about a little bit is I have done direct address to the audience in other theaters. Most recently, Artist Repertory Theater. And I would say kind of the nice thing about that is that you can kind of look at the people in the first few rows, but you can't see beyond the first few rows. So if you feel like the people are getting tired of you talking at them, you know, like
you
maybe
look further up.
You can look further up and you're not, you can't see anybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might be looking at somebody, but you can't see anybody. So it looks like you're kind of storytelling to a specific person, but you can't see them and you're not, and that person is more anonymous. So this is a little bit more, you know, I'm going to be right there with everybody. And so we did talk about, okay, if it looks like the audience is having some fatigue with me directly addressing
them. Well, you'll
know,
and you'll just do something. Because I know you, and you're just going to do something.
I'll do something. I mean, I'll just have to go a little bit above the heads, but I will be able to see everyone in the show, in the audience.
And Theater Vertigo is at the Shoebox Theater, and that's it's like a 40-seat house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got six women on stage. So
right.
How are you configuring that?
Yeah, we have, it's really interesting. The set is fabulous, and it looks like you're walking into a courtyard in the back of apartment buildings. And so we have three different banks of seats, if you will. And it's the same thing. It's really intimate. And I have actually, I'm having the actors actually talk to people at points. I'm like, look at somebody, look them right in the eye, make them uncomfortable.
Oh, boy.
We're all in this together.
So you're going there.
So, yeah, totally going there.
So, we're going to have to close now.
Yeah,
but I'm
for
looking
sure.
forward to both shows. Sarah Hennessy of How to Keep an Alien at Korab Theater and Josie Seed of A Dark Sky Full of Stars at Theater Vertigo. Thanks for joining me today for this conversation.
Thank you.
It was delightful.
It's so good to
Thank
have you.
You.
Both shows open this weekend, and find out more at kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where you can hear the podcast later today. That's it for Stage and Studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, but you can call now and still get tickets for basic memberships at 1-877-500-5266. Show your support for KBU and for the arts, and get those tickets now.